All right, welcome to it. First podcast of Oregon, crabbing, hunting, fishing,
anything expert,
cold weather, I mean, just everything. But, I mean, I don't even know where to start. There's just been so many things that we've done and experienced and seen and a part of already.
Kind of wild, right? I mean, you really think about that?
How many days have we been here? We should have looked at this before.
We moved to Oregon in July. And
July right 22nd. Now it's like,
well, yeah, about 2 months.
September 19th.
Yep.
So almost 2 months and like 3 days, 4 days.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Well, you know, I mean, we've also got a lot to like share here. So I think we should jump right in. Do you want to go ahead and explain what you got this year? What was the big thing that you accomplished this year when coming to Oregon?
Which thing? I mean, take your pick.
I mean, I think you should begin in the, like, I think it's important to start, like, at the very beginning. Like, how, like, who even are you? Like, you know, like the meme that's like, wait a minute, who are so I kind of feel like that's important.
Well, yeah.
So this is Ethan and Val, and you're listening to the very first, I guess it's not only crab expert, I guess it's nature expert.
I guess.
I still haven't figured out how to say it properly, and I literally founded it. Isn't that kind of sad?
Well, I mean, it's our thing. We can do whatever we want with it.
I mean, that's true. But yeah, basically, welcome to the first episode. We are going to talk about Ethan's accomplishments ever since we moved to Oregon. And I wish I could share some crabbing stories that like actually show some success, but it's been just so hard.
I mean, we've had success. We just haven't had legal success.
What that means is, well, we didn't take any crab that we were not supposed to take, or like, you know, like took any females or so. Like, I want to make this very clear, because fishing and wildlife is going to be on our ass. But
well, it's not even that. I mean, even fish and wildlife out here, have you seen a game warden yet? Because I fucking haven't.
I kind of feel like they're probably like, it was probably that one boy when we went crabbing the first time. We actually had our two pugs with us, and they were just chilling on the dock with us. And Ethan and I both, I mean, are we crab experts yet? Probably not.
I wouldn't say so.
We're working on it. But basically, there was this family, and how old was he? Like, what, 8, 9?
No, not even 8, 9. I mean, all of 6, 7, maybe 8, maybe.
I am so bad with kids' age. I have no fucking clue.
No, he was.
I don't like kids like that.
No, he was. I put him in like first, second grade.
Okay, because like he walked up to us all of a sudden, and shared that that he was in the rodeo, and that it was really good, but also really, really bad, because there a lot of things happened that were really, really sad. But he's staying positive.
Yeah.
That was, I don't even know, man. Like, that child, I swear, if I have ever this motivation in life, or this positive view of life, I kind of feel like I won.
Well, I mean, it's just the fact that he's on the fishing dock, having fun. Like, there's not really, I mean, think about it. When you're on a dock like that, there's not really anybody that's going to be like, get away from me, you know? Even if they are, they're going to go out there, chunk their pot, and go sit in their truck. Like,
I mean, yeah, that's what the ABBA people did.
So, like, if there is anybody out there, he can just go up to them and talk to them and be free and actually
share that he was in the rodeo.
So, I mean, it's kind of cool that you can have that. You don't have to worry about him, you know,
getting snatched.
Not even
shit.
Getting snatched. I mean, just, you know, just
like being in danger. I mean, you're still on a dock
getting
in front
a,
of the
not
water.
Even that, just getting a bad influence.
Yeah,
I mean, like, everybody there is, you know, there to have a good time and doing the same thing he's doing, so.
Yeah, that's true.
If he's offering help and services, it's like, he's
I don't
just
know, maybe he had some issues with his stepmom. They didn't seem that close, but I feel like that's their own chapter. I don't know. But, I mean, he was one of the crabbing highlights. I gotta give it to that kid.
Yeah.
Gotta give it to him.
What was his name? Do you remember?
He never shared his name.
I don't know.
But I also wouldn't want to blast a kid's name on my first episode of the podcast. You know, that's kind of fucked up. But,
give the
no, I mean,
credit.
Like, besides that, we didn't really have any success with crabbing yet. Where we're like, oh shit, you know, now we have figured it out. Now we know how to fucking do it. And, like, all that, so.
But we've had success. had success. In other places, though.
Yeah, you want to share? I feel like you should start in the very beginning, like. How did you even obtain this chance?
So, it started originally with drawing tags, like drawing rifle tags for, what was it, Heppner for elk, the unit. It was like Heppner number 33 rifle season, but it's only like 2 weeks long. And then, no. 2 weeks, 10 days.
I thought it's 10 days.
Yeah, 10 days. And the unit's like what, 3-4 hours away?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good little distance away.
It's not that
it's
far
like
on the map, but just closer to drive it because of the national forest is just.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's closer to Washington. It's, you know, upper part. There's mountains. You got to go around mountains and whatnot. So
yeah.
There was that one, and then I had a deer tag in, I can't remember the unit's name, but down closer to California.
Yeah.
And then. Basically what it was like Jared's wedding kind of happened where it was going to overlap. Some other things happened where it was going to overlap. And it was just like, well, do I really want to take the whole month of October and November off just to go do these things and then only rifle hunt?
Because you wouldn't have had a full weekend because we're first at Jared's wedding and then we're in,
yeah, for
in
the
Dodger
deer
Stadium for Elton,
yeah,
right?
So I would have hunted basically during the week because I would have been... Either take everything off and drop everything, which, you know, probably still would have done.
I mean, you kind of did, so.
but yeah, no. So I was like, well, let's change it to some more. Like, change the tags around. So changed the deer tag to General Western Cascades. And what that is basically the Cascade Mountains run along Oregon's, like, western part. And then it splits the western part from, like, the whole basically eastern block. And it's like the Blues and the Cascades run all the way up into Washington, and then that's like the like anything west of that is what I can hunt, which is like what 12, 15 units, maybe like probably like what a fifth of the state, maybe a sixth. I mean, it's a good little chunk, but it's like rainforest. It's a lot different from the eastern side of the block.
Did you say rainforest?
Yeah, it's a lot more rainforest. I mean, it's got like ferns and big tall trees and. Things in lower elevation. It's not like
you're gonna get banned from South America now because you said that. You compared Oregon's forest with them right.
Well, coastal forest. How about that?
Okay.
Coastal forest environment. And then the other one, I changed the elk tag to basically the same thing, but it's more of like 90% of the state is open for general bow season.
Yeah.
But. So change that one, and then both of those tags are about like the elk tag is, it was like just, I think it's like 28 days, and then the rifle tag is like 32 days. It's a little over a month and a little under a month, but basically it went from, you know, what, 28 days, 20 days worth of hunting time to 60?
Yeah, I think so. It almost like...
Almost doubled
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it almost doubled.
So... Was like, well, done. Didn't cost anything. People at the ODFW office were super sweet.
Oh, yeah, but I kind of feel like, I mean, we talked about this before, but, like, every public office that we've spoken to from the state here has been, like, super, super kind, like, the people, and, like, helpful.
Yeah, that's true.
Props to Oregon right there. But, I mean, like, I emailed them, and they were not as nice, because I still can't see my crab tag on
I just think app. Because it's just not, like, enough. Maybe, I don't know. I just have to go.
I don't know. They told me I should be able to, but I can't. So, I'm not even stressing about it because, you know, I mean, in the end, it's there. But, no, I mean, honestly, whenever we looked up the tags that you drew and you actually drew that elk tag.
That was the originals.
Insanity.
Yeah, the original ones. You told me, like, what? I mean, I was...
You didn't even want to know.
I was...
You were all, like, grumpy. Well, it was supposed to come out until
the next day. That was the thing. It was supposed to come out the next day, but they posted it at midnight.
So... No, it was supposed to come out that day, but that day was, wasn't Labor Day, Memorial Day or something?
It was a holiday. Yeah, it was a holiday of some kind. Was it the 4th?
No. It came out before. It was, like, the 28th or so. But we were like, well, because it's a federal holiday, they're probably not going to post because it's federal.
Yeah.
But they actually did. But like super late, didn't it? I can't remember. It was really late-ish weird.
Because I was asleep. Like I was in, like just had just fallen asleep. And you woke me up and were like, oh my God, you drew. I was like barely just... awake and like, huh, what? Like,
don't even tell me. It's like, bro, you drew what the...
You said you drew both. You drew both. And yeah. I was like, there's no way. I was like, it just says, like, this and that. And...
It just says, like, a big game hunt draw tag.
Yeah, it was like, big game hunt draw tag accepted. Or something like that. It was like, it wasn't like, you know...
Well, but it showed up on your list of, like, drawn tags. That's why I was like, holy shit, you actually did drew for that. Yeah.
It's weird. You can look it up and see exactly what you see, but, like, I think we have a screenshot of it or something somewhere.
I don't even know. Probably somewhere.
But,
I'll put it in when I find it. So you went to the Oregon Fishing and Wildlife
Department. Yeah, ODFW office changed it. It was, like, $10 a tag or something to change.
You changed it from rifle to bow, right?
Yeah, rifle to general bow.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that was... super easy thing. It just had to be done before opening day, before 5 o'clock the day before prior that they close. But anyway, so what was it, August 27th, struck out in a rented U-Haul single cab Chevy truck, and then was like, what actually happened was, is the night before we looked up the fire restrictions. Because we had seen elk coming back one time from crabbing.
No, twice, actually.
Oh, yeah, both times. In almost the same exact area. And we were like, oh, we're going to this spot. Like, this is just a no-brainer. And then that was where I had my heart set to go. And, like, I was like, that's where I'm going. I'm going this trail. I'm going here. I'm going to hunt this mountain. I'm going to hunt this saddle. Do this. And then, Smokey the Bear gives us a reminder to check fire restrictions. And then...
Because only we can prevent wildfires.
So check the wildfire restrictions, and that shit's closed down.
Yeah.
Closed down.
It was like fire restriction.
It was
two
like
and then up.
Yeah, and that was like, was it at like 90%?
Yeah, it was wild.
It was also,
think about that. It hadn't rained for like.
That was right before the fires and all that stuff happened too.
12 weeks or so.
Yeah, it was a long spell. So the only units that were really open were from coast tip to coast tip, and
yeah,
about
but
10,
also,
what, 10, 20 miles in?
Yeah.
If that, if
and
there's
like
a big river.
And 90% was sand kind of deal?
Yeah, it's like dune, beach kind of area where it's like, you know, right off the coast, mostly sand. But this, luckily this, the, I know I'm saying it wrong, but the Susla. S-U-I-S-L-A-W.
You're asking me how to say something wrong?
I mean, I was saying the Willamette. Willamette, so I mean
Willamette. I don't know
I
if
still,
you can say it right, honestly.
I have no idea, but the way I've been
anybody
saying it.
Anybody knows,
this...
please send us phonetic, how is that called? Phonetic cheat sheets?
I guess. I don't know.
On how you say that. Please put it in like American English and also then like European English, so like how people from Europe speak English, please. Not British.
Yeah, Susla National Forest. From Newport to, what was it? Or from Newport to Florence was open, and then like certain parts like that. So I was like, okay, well, game plan is now hunt the one places that are open. So.
And ironically, didn't that one spot where we dropped the pin where we saw the elk, like close, like between Florence and Mapleton, wasn't that overlapping with the region where you were able to go?
Kind of. I mean, it was the same tech, like, you know, geographic kind of stuff and location and like it's the same thing, but it wasn't the same group of elk. Mm. It was
yeah. Well, yeah, obviously.
It was way, what, probably 20 miles closer to the coast.
I think so. Yeah.
20, 30 miles. I mean, it was. It's a good chunk, but it's the same thing. It's just basically, the further inlet you get, the bigger the mountains get. So I think the tallest coast mountain is like 4,200 feet, and then our tallest regular mountain is like 12,000 feet past the coast. Like, so like, it's just, the coastline is just not a very mountainy area. But
I mean, makes sense, right? Like, coast and not being super mountainous.
Well, yeah.
So, but I mean, I feel like we should jump more in. Oh, yeah. Like,
so
what exactly happened? Like,
first day,
you went out and you scouted a couple of times, more or less, or tried to hunt, and you weren't successful because it either poured on you, or it was just too hot still, or then like
the fog.
Yeah. The fog.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much every weather pattern that you could like be like, well, probably don't want to hunt that. It was like, that's pretty much what happened. Like, the first day was raining and wet and miserable, and I was soaked head to toe in water.
It was so funny when you went home, dude. I was like, what happened? Because it didn't rain here.
Yeah, no. And I was drenched head to toe, walked all that distance, but found elk that day.
Mm-hmm.
And found them across the mountain, scattered, saw them, took pictures, have very, very crappy cell phone, wet binocular pictures of them, but saw them. And then, so then found out how to get to that other side of the mountain, and then started hunting the other side of the mountain. Then there was the fog day. Then mm-hmm. It was too hot. Then it was
the dog day.
Oh, the fucking dog.
When we went together that first time.
The first time
I was kind of mushroom foraging, and that fucking huge ass. That was not a regular German Shepherd. That was way too big to be a German Shepherd.
It was just like, we're out in the middle of the National Forest and like on the edge, and just literally would walk out onto this like bluff, basically on a finger point. And we're sitting there, and all of a sudden it's just like, just echoes through the mountain.
Dude, yeah, especially, like, we both looked around, because clearly we walked through National Forest, you know, there's bears,
all
that shit.
I mean, I was making
shit.
Elk calls, I was making sounds, like, we're snapping twigs, it's like,
but it's
we
also,
were making noise coming up to that point.
And we looked around, it's not like, I'm sorry, but I'm not gonna miss a dog normally, like, that doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah.
So, that huge dog, that was just wild, especially
just
how loud he was. And
he just
then
came out of nowhere.
He or she, I don't know.
So basically what happened was is we were on like the edge of the point, and the ridge kind of ran behind us. So we went out on the edge, and he just kind of like pushed around us in like a big horseshoe pattern, and just ran the whole, like basically both sides of this horseshoe that we would be hunting. He just ran the whole damn thing and was making a bunch of noise and barking and pissing. And then we saw possibly a second one. That was a little darker.
I mean, there's just dogs running around the mountain. But I'm just kind of like, where the hell are you coming from?
Yeah, I know.
Because you also thought that the first one didn't have a leash, but I can tell you right now for sure that it did have one.
Yeah,
like
there, I saw
it tried to go forward and it couldn't for some reason. So, I'm figuring that there's like some form of maybe an e-collar that's restricted with the territory or so.
That's a little bit far for it to be on the top of the
mountain.
Well,
but they make those for, like, farms.
You're not going to have one that's that big, though.
I don't know. That basically ruined it because it scared everything. I mean, it scared us away eventually.
I mean, yeah. We were, like, we had the bear spray out. I had a blunt tip arrow. I was, like, we were...
Yeah.
I had pistol on the hip. I was, like, I don't... I was like, everything we can do to like to not hurt the dog, we're gonna, you know, like bear spray, non-lethal, blunt tips, non-lethal, but like, you know, the pistol was ready. Like, I was
but
just like
also,
it was
like,
a big motherfucking dog.
And dude, it's a dog that all of a sudden appears in the national forest. Like, yeah, sure, there's houses. Yeah, sure, there's farms. Like the private property.
Yeah,
but it was so far up.
I mean,
and
yeah,
like, think about that. It's like, it was like almost 2.5 miles to get to that point where we went.
Yeah.
Where we saw the dog.
Yeah, probably.
So, like...
Plus elevation.
I don't know if the dog got scratched by something, you know, if it has rabies or whatnot, and I'm not coming home and giving my puggos the rabies. No babies getting rabies.
But yeah.
So
that was that ruined once. And then we were like, we gave it probably, 3-4 days after that one? I think it was 4 days. Because that happened on a Monday. And then, was it Thursday? It was like Wednesday night, I looked at it and I was like, oh, there's a cold front hitting.
Yeah.
And then at that point, I started working nights. So I had mornings off. So I was like, well, you just got back from Texas. And I was like,
yeah,
well,
I went to Texas for a day. Shout out to Andrea.
And then came back, you know, went Thursday morning. It was cold and wet. Well, going out there, it was like walking up. I think I checked it last in the truck. It was like 46 degrees when I shut the door. And walk up the, it's like a mile and a mile and a half to get to that first spot, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So walk the mile and a half, get up to the spot. And I'm sitting there, and I go to pull my straw from my Camelback out to get a drink. And when I did, I basically just pulled the whole thing like a straw. Just pulled the whole thing apart from each other. And then the whole 2-liter full Camelback just proceeded to pour down my back of my backpack, down the back of my pants, completely soaked me from basically the waist down is soaking wet. Like, I can literally grab my pants and wring water out of it. Same with my backpack. And
you have an army backpack.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you have, like, a little, you know.
No, yeah. It's a legit bag. And then I'm like, well, I'm sitting there. I'm like, I'm soaking wet. My ass is just, like, literally I'm just wet at this point. And I'm like, well, it's 40-something degrees. I'm soaking wet. No one's going to really count me out. If I go home right now, I'm like, you know. Whatever.
What time was that?
About 7:30
a.m.
Yeah.
The good vibes.
Yeah, and then so I was
the
like,
good way to start a day.
It's like, well, I don't know. Nah. I'm sitting there contemplating it, having the thought. I'm like, well, I could go back. I could be home, but then kind of waste the day. And right about that time, I hear the elk bugle from the other side of the mountain. I'm like, well, I guess we're going to keep going. So, creep up and basically keep going, pulling, you know, as I can, trying to dry my pants off or my bag, get the thing out, fix that situation to where it's not completely drenching me.
Yeah.
And then basically start working the horseshoe down towards him. So, like,
are your socks wet?
Oh yeah.
Ugh.
It literally had ran. Well, my pants are waterproof.
Oh, it ran down.
So it just ran straight down.
Oh.
So the two things that got soaking wet are my underwear, the inside liner of my pants, and my socks. Eventually, it did kind of get down into my shoes, but it wasn't too long where it was like my shoes were wet. So, I mean, everything was wet.
Oh, shit.
But, so I started working down the horseshoe and just basically calling every...
What kind of calls?
Call 100 yards. I had Phelps... game with a bugle tube, aluminum one. That was like the main thing with the
what
easy bugler.
What kind of call does that imitate?
It's a bugle, and then it also is like a cheerleading sound tube, basically too. So like if you could like you put the cow call up to it and meow, you know, ring it out through that thing, it makes it a lot louder, so you can pronounce yourself a lot further. And then I had like 4 mouth calls, and then the other one was the Primos Hoochie Mama. It's like a little, it's basically just like a squeeze button call, and you put your thumb over the hole of the air hole and you squeeze the squishy part and it pushes the air and it goes meow.
So it's kind of like a bath dog.
Yeah, pretty much. And that one, for some reason, I'd put it in, like, when I'm just trying to get, like, a quick, you know, I'd have it in my hand, basically, and if I'd walking along, and all of a sudden, I'd, you know, I step on a stick wrong, and it snap, and it echoed through the forest, I'd just take that little Hoochie Mama and just go, meow, and just, like, you know, just send an elk call out so that it's not like, oh, that's an elk making that noise. It's not a human that's walking through the woods that just snap that loud branch
that
everything.
So you're scaring everybody.
Yeah, I'm basically trying to sound like I'm an elk walking through the woods.
Yeah, and elk going like, oh shit, sorry guys, sorry.
But yeah, so that's the case on that. But then just keep walking down the horseshoe, and like basically every time I'd walk down, I'd get set up, and I'm like, all right, he's gonna come in right here, because it's so thick that it sounds like he's 5 miles away, but at the same time, it sounds like he's like 200 yards away.
I mean, think about that. Whenever we went and saw that dog, we walked up and we thought there was a bear like straight next to us, and we couldn't see it at all. And it was maybe, what, 30 yards?
30, 40 yards in the brush, yeah. So, I mean, like, it's just so freaking thick that it's just like, sometimes it's hard not to, like, you know, judge sound on things. But no, anyway, I'm working down and I'd stop and I'd cow call and I bugle and I'm just basically making a big hoopla and hoorah in this spot to basically say, like, there's cool stuff going on over here, elk stuff's happening, and you need to be involved, and you're not involved.
Here is the party.
Yeah, I mean, just cow calls and bugles, and didn't really thrash brush at all, though. Didn't really.
What does that mean?
Like, sometimes whenever bulls are getting fired up, they'll break the brush.
Oh, like the antlers rubbing together. Yeah. Gotcha.
But I never really did that until I got. But anyway, so just keep working down, and I finally get to the point where I'm like basically paralleling an opening. Mm-hmm. So like to my left is a basic. It's like I'm on like a trail, and to my left is like probably 40 yards of brush, and then past that is a clear cut where like the forest. Or like a logging company comes through and cuts down all the trees, clears everything out, so it's clear. So the elk is bugling in there and running cows around in there. But I'm in the National Forest side, basically paralleling him on, like, I'm in the thick forest and he's in the, on the opening. And we're just going and walking and kind of paralleling each other down the thing. And I'm bugling and cow calling. Basically making it sound like, There's a bunch of cows going around, but there's one that's in particular that's in heat and keep going, like, you know, like little ones where it's like meow 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 meow. So like cows talking to each other, and then you have the one that's like meow.
Hello.
Yeah, you make her sound a little whinier.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And then throw in a bugle on top of that.
Okay, before you go ahead with the story, I just want to put a disclaimer in that this is getting a little bit graphic. Just due to the nature of the elk, and his behavior, thinking that you were a interested female, I guess. So just a little heads up here, you know, not everybody wants to hear that, you know, kind of deal.
Plug the kids' ears. But anyway, so we're working down the thing, and I'm getting closer and closer and closer to him. And it's getting to the point where, like, we're basically, like, he's probably 200-400 yards from me at this point. Like, he's not far. Like, I can hear the gurgle in his bugles. He's that close. And basically, every time he would bugle to one of my cow calls, like, I'd take that hoochie moment, or one of the reeds, or, you know, and whatever, and he would bugle. I'd bugle right on top of him and mimic kind of the same. So if, like, he would go, like, oh, I would do the kind of, like, the ooh, right back at him, just to kind of be like,
you just fucking gaslit that poor elf, bro. You were like, I'm a woman and a man, and we're fighting. But we're also not fighting because I'm really attracted to you. But then on the other hand, I'm also fighting with you about myself.
Like, so,
you.
So then it, like, we get to the point where I'm like, all right, he's going to start working up close to me. I got to find a place to get a lane to get a shot. And there'd been a point where a tree had fallen. And there's like, it's an opening, I guess, which you'd call it right there. And get to the tree, I'm like, all right, I can push through this tree, but I don't know how, like, it's not gonna be quiet. Like, it's a fallen tree, and it's probably about waist high of brush. Like, you're not just gonna walk or on even on top of the tree, because it's just like, it's gonna smack down. It's not on the ground, it's kind of wet. I'm like, well, so I'm cow calling and bugling, and basically right before I'd gotten to that tree, the scenario that I'd set up was like that a cow was in heat and getting chased down the trail that I was going down. So I was acting as, like, I was the cow, and I was, you know, and running almost down to this point, making a bunch of noise. And then right as I got up to the tree, as I get onto the brush, make it sound where the bull comes in, cuts the cow off from the other bull that seems like she was going to him, and then bugle to say, like, the bugle and chuckle to say, like, no, she's mine, F you, fuck off. So then I go, like, crashing through this brush. Well, right before I do and did that, he starts, like, raking, and I can hear him, like, like, it sounds like someone's taking, like, a tree and just shaking it. It's just like,
or Sasquatch.
So me, luckily, at that same exact time, I have to walk through this down tree, and it sounds like a bulldozer is driving over, like, 15 dead trees. It is just like, snap, boom, snap, crash. I fall over, holding my bow above my head. I'm having to push down with one hand to, like, pull myself back up. I mean, I'm just making, like, all kinds of noise where I'm like, there's no way in hell he's gonna stick around. Like, he's gone. And then I get set up, and I'm like, I think I should cow call. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know what? Just get kind of set up. I put my release, click it onto my little hitch of my bowstring, and get my hand, and I get on my arrow, and I get everything set up. And right about the time, I'm like, all right, maybe I'll cow call or something, see what's going on. He comes walking up the hill, and I can just see, like, the antler tips, like, coming up on the hill. And I'm like, well, shit, what do I do? Because he's, like, walking up, and he's just kind of, like, he's all puffed up, and he's just, like, not like
I'm going to fuck a bitch up.
He's just strutting in, just, like, boom, boom, boom. He's got his head down. And right about the time, I can see, like, the antler tips, and then I can see his head, and then I can see his body. And I'm like, at this point, I kind of got a little shell shocked, and I was like, holy shit, there's a fucking elk at, 30 yards walking up to me right now. And then it got to the point where I was like, I can see his whole body, and his dick is, like, basically like your forearm, right? He's slapping it as he's strutting, walking from belly tip to belly tip, from front shoulder to back ham. And as he's doing that, he's pissing. So he's just flinging piss all over him, himself, the ground, it's going in the air. I mean, it's just like, he's just walking up, and you can hear it, like, slapping all over it, and he's going, as he's walking up the hill. And he comes up to about, I'd say about 5 yards of doing this, and I guess he just ran out of piss. So he stops peeing, and he just kind of, like, you know, stops peeing, and then looks up at me standing behind a little, like, Charlie Brown Christmas tree at 5 yards, and then goes, like, poof, and, like, blows, and goes, like, oh shit. And but didn't really blow in the sense of, like, oh, something's right there. He just kind of, like, whoa, like, that's not an elk.
What I was expecting.
Yeah, kind of caught him off guard. And luckily, the way he spun, he literally just kind of, like, glanced, looked at me, and was like, whoa, and then turned his head to me. So he never really registered what I was.
Well, I think he was just so, like, think about that. He came up there, like, ready, and then all of a sudden it's not what he's seeing. He's just like, well, whatever.
Plus, he never really, like, looked at me. Yeah. And then I just let out the whiniest, like, I have my mouth read call, and just whiniest, as I can. And he turns and he stops right at 30 and quartering away, kind of looks his, like, little bit back over the shoulder. I draw, full draw, and when I release, it just, like, it's when you aim at something and you have that little red or orange or yellow or green or whatever color thing it is, and my 30 is that red color. When you shoot a perfect arrow, that arrow just basically just disappears right into that colored dot. And that red basically went right and disappeared into that red. And right as I took it away, there was more red coming back out. And literally, he took a step from that point, and it was spewing, like, spray, like, blood out of that point. And I'm like, holy shit, that's a money shot. Like, that's the shot. And it goes, like, I mean, shoot, boom, flash of blood, like, see it spewing, and he goes straight away where I can't see him anymore. Because he stopped right on the edge of where it was, like, he takes another two steps, and he's gone, and I can't see him anymore. And right on that edge, shot him, and then basically it was, like, for, like, a second, him crashing down this, and then it just, and then silence.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, well, I'm just, like, listening. It's just nothing. The mountain goes quiet. Everything goes quiet. I'm like, okay, like, he's not looking. I'm just waiting for him to run out this way or run out that way or just hear the crash of this thing going somewhere. And it just goes quiet. So basically all I do is I just kind of shuffle my feet to where, because I was standing, like, my right foot was standing where my left foot should be and my left foot was where my right foot should be when I shot. So basically put my feet to where they should be, and then I sat there for a little over an hour in that exact spot. Didn't take my backpack off, didn't set my bow down, didn't take anything out. I texted...
me!
I don't even think I texted you. I don't even think I texted anybody. I pulled my phone out and I started taking pictures of, like, okay, here's the spot, here's the thing, here's this, here's that.
And I put it away
and I was like, I don't want to tell anybody yet. Because I don't know if he's down. I want to get my hands on him first. And then I'll start texting people. So then I go and I start looking. After about an hour. The shot was at about 7. Like. No. It was like 8:30. Yeah, it was about 8:32, I think is what I marked it down at.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically started looking for him about 10 o'clock. I was like, all right, I'm going to wait 30 minutes. So I waited till 9. I'm like. You know, okay, we'll wait another 30 minutes. And I was like, got to the thing, and I was like, all right, we'll wait to this. And I was like, all right, we'll just wait, fuck it, we're just going to wait till 10 o'clock. So then I think it was like 10 o'clock. I was like, all right, we're going to go to it. It was 8:52, not 32. Yeah.
I think you called me at like 9:30 or so because I was in a meeting.
Is it? I think it was 10:30.
I mean, I can check.
But anyway, but go down, and I start looking. And I thought he'd barreled off the mountain to the right based on the crash and, like, where he took off from and where he was angled. And I'm looking to the right, and I basically followed the blood trail, like, a good blood trail for a couple steps. And I'm like, okay, we don't need to follow this. He's right here somewhere.
9:16
is when I called you? Okay, so I guess it was 7, and then 9 is when I stopped and went and got it. But anyway, so I go to the right, can't find it. I look for probably about 30, 45 minutes, and I can't find him. I'm like, all right, let's go back up top. Let's reset.
Yeah.
There was blood. There was a lot of blood. He was hurt. Like, we'll reset, refind it. Go back up top. Find the blood again. Find, like, basically where I shot him. Find the blood trail. And what had happened was, is one side of the blood trail was, like, little drops. And I thought that went to the right, and that's the one I originally had followed. The other side of the blood trail looked like someone was taking a paintbrush, dipping it in a bucket, flinging it on the ground. And I'm like, okay, this is the trail we need to follow. So, like, 2-3 steps of that on, like, this dry grass. And it's clear as day. Like, I'm, like, stepping, like, okay, just following it with my eyes. Then I find my arrow, and it's covered tip to tip.
Yeah.
Which is now hanging on the wall. But find that. It's covered tip to tip. Keep going down. I mean, it's just like clumps, huge things, blood. And then finally walk down, and there he is, piled up at maybe 85 yards from where I shot him.
Yeah. It wasn't that far whenever you showed me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I took the rangefinder to the top spot, and with the angle, it was like 82, but like in total, it was probably, it was under 100 yards that he ran and just piled up, and I had proceeded to like full caveman and like full draw real quick, and I'm like, you know, making noise, kicking stuff at him, nothing, and I, you know, kind of kick him in the butt and then poke him with a stick and then poke him with an eye, like poke him in the eye, make sure he's like really dead. I let my bow down and I knock the arrow, and then I proceed to probably freak out the most I've ever, like, like excitedly I've ever gotten over something. Like, GPS went flying, binoculars went flying, pistols laying on the ground, bow, quiver came off. Like, I mean, I lost it. And then was like, you know, looking at him, holding him, touch. I mean, I could barely pick his head up.
Yeah.
You couldn't move him.
It was a heavy thing.
It was massive. So I was like, I texted. That's when I tried to call you, and then you were like, I'm in a meeting. And then I tried to call my dad, and then for some reason when I tried to call you, it went through. But then I tried to call other people, and it wouldn't work.
Well.
So then I was like, well, I start texting people, like, you know, down at whatever time that was. And then, like, after about 10 minutes of, like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, I calmed down, and then I realized the next daunting task of, like, there's a massive elk on the ground. Yeah. I now have to skin it and get it off this mountain. So then I proceed to start skinning it. I think I started at like 10:50. And I think I was done. In the game bags, everything else, like 3 hours later. I think it took me 3-4 hours later.
Yeah, I couldn't get a hold of you.
It was
ridiculous. Is going on? You know, you just texted me like, I did it. And I'm like, what do you need? Like, I don't know what's happening. So yeah, it took me, I think, I want to say you called me back around 1-ish. And then I left here at 3 after work immediately.
Oh, also, keep in mind, I was working nights at this point. So I worked all night.
Yeah, you were up the whole fucking day.
And then up all day. Yeah, skin the elk. And it literally, like, skinning that thing by yourself. There was points where it died in, like, a dusty spot, too. So I could never get grip with my boots.
Yeah, the spot was so shitty.
So basically I laid a tarp down right next to it, and every time I cut a piece off, I'd lay a piece on that tarp so it wouldn't lay it directly on it, and then I'd put it in a game bag, whatever. But skinning the legs, I was having to push like everything I had into pushing one leg up and then put the leg on my shoulder as I'm then cutting it to separate it from the body. Like, at one point we were talking about, like, getting it mounted and, like, the first bull. Like, you know, you kind of, you know, got to get it mounted some way. I butchered the fuck out of that cape so hard that I don't even think you could have tanned a strip. I had the 4 game bags for the 4 massive legs, and then I had the little drawstring bag for back straps and all the other chunks of meat, neck and whatever.
Yeah.
But it was...
It was wild.
I was ridiculous. And then, so basically, cut it up in the spot and then carry up in the shade. This is by myself at this point.
Yeah.
Cut it all up, put it on the tarp, then put it in game bags, carry it up in the shade, hang it up on like a fallen tree kind of thing, basically to get it off the ground and off things, then cover that up. Well, at this point, it's what? 2:30?
Yeah, something 3 o'clock? Like that, probably.
My water had left my bag at 7 o'clock that morning. I didn't have any water besides that 2-liter Camelback. All the other water was in the truck.
I mean, I'm not going to say mistakes were made.
Oh.
Because clearly you have a Camelback for exactly that reason. But going forward, maybe pack a little one.
Yeah, that would have been smart.
Or like a little container so you can use your livestock.
Yeah. Well, hindsight. But... So, butcher all that, carry all that up the mountain to a shade spot, to a safe spot, get it all the gear up, get all the things there, basically get the good stuff away from the carcass and out of the sun. Because, I mean, it got in the day where it was 75 degrees. It was
pretty nice.
It was getting warm. I mean, it was getting up there. But, so then getting all that, well, I'm like, at this point, I'm like, my mouth is so dry. I'm cotton mouth that I'm like, I've got to get water or I'm gonna pass out. So luckily I carry a life straw in my bag. Well, the life straw.
We never even cared to read the instructions for.
Well, I get down, walk from the top of where I carried all the meat up, walk down half a mile to the river.
I don't know.
A mile? I don't know how far. It's. I've measured one point at like my rangefinder max is out at 650. I measured it at like 634 yards, and it was like a quarter of the way down the mountain. So I mean, it was a good chunk. Walk all the way down there, And I'm starting to pull it, like, I get to the creek, and I'm like, oh my god, thank god, I need water. And I'm pulling this life straw with everything I got, just like trying to suck a golf ball through a garden hose, and I can't get anything. And it's barely getting through, and I'm just so thirsty at this point. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. And I look at the life straw, and on the side of it, it says,
instructions.
Suck in the water, and then blow it out into a container. I didn't carry it down a container. I don't have a water bottle. I don't have anything. Everything I have is either covered in blood, carrying something that has blood on it, or...
or was touched with something that had blood on
it. Yeah, so... I'm basically, at this point, I'm sucking it in, flipping the straw upside down, and then putting it down, and then letting the water come out as I'm, like, tapping it down. So I get, like, however much water that is, and then start the hike back to the truck. And then at that point, that hike back's probably, what, 3 miles?
Yeah, probably.
So then hike back to the truck, get the water bottle, you know, get back to the truck, half passing out, get my water and Gatorade. Like, the when I first got to the truck, I couldn't get it unlocked with the button because I hit the button on the inside. And I tried to get it while my Gatorade was on the passenger or on the driver's side where I could get in, and I took a big swig of the Gatorade, and when you're really dehydrated, it
clumped. Yeah, you're not supposed to just
I almost threw it right back up. I was like, oh god,
you literally taught me that.
Yeah, I know. Well, then I go around to the other side and I grab the water, and I finish the water in about 10 seconds and then drink the water, get the Gatorades, drink the Gatorades, and then start talking to these people down the way. And I'm like, basically coming back to
life, and, back to reality.
Didn't carry anything back. I carried my bow back with me and my bow and my pistol. That's all I carried with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, everything else is staying over there because I was just so dehydrated and worn out, no sleep.
I mean, yeah, whenever you called me and I was like, okay, what do you need from me? And you just said, cooler, ice, and water. And I was like, okay, I mean, you know, it's been like a couple of hours since he shot it. You know, I figured. I also had no clue where you are because I told you. But we never dropped the pin for the spot where we parked. So the only reason why I was able to find where you park, because it's in National Forest and you don't have service there, is because I took a picture of whenever we saw that dog of a mushroom that I foraged at the truck because I wanted to see if it's A or B.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and only because my iPhone has the geolocations enabled for that.
Yeah.
I saw where you were only because of this picture, and ironically I saw that the picture was actually on the other side of the street, but I knew how the street went yeah. there. That's the only reason how I found, or like why and how I found you. So I drive there, right? I'm like, all right, you know, I guess I'm just bringing ice water and the cooler, right? So I'm coming there with my capris, I guess.
Shorts, tennis shoes.
Fucking tennis shoes.
Tank top.
Tank top. I'm like, all right, let's fucking do this. And he goes like, okay, yeah, ha 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 ha. Still super fucking dehydrated. Dude, you looked like the fucking ghost Casper himself.
I was struggling, to say the least.
You were fucking... Were you even, like, literally... For a hot second, I was like, whenever you called me and I heard how dehydrated you were, I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna go there and he's gonna have like fucking 4 pounds of meat and he's gonna try to tell me that this was an elk. I don't know. I was like, oh my god, you're so dehydrated, but.
Yeah, I wasn't all there mentally. You definitely had a cloud over me. But yeah, no, at that point, we basically, once you got there, we were like, all right, well. Now yeah. We gotta go. You were like, where's the meat? I was like, what do you mean, where's the meat? I was like, I had stashed it. And you're like, what do you mean you stashed it? Like, let me see it. And I was like, I have pictures. I can show you pictures. And you're like,
I don't want to see. They were all not sharp. They were all like, while you were running for some reason. Yeah. Were just bad pictures.
Yeah, it wasn't the best, but.
Well, but I also kind of thought like, okay, you know, I really don't think that he's just going to leave the meat in the middle of the wood. with the fucking bears around, so that didn't click for me. But looking back at it, I'm like, yeah, it's like, how much was it? Like 250 pounds of meat?
Oh, more than that.
More?
I weighed each leg in
the... Well, with or without bone?
This is without the big hoof thing that we couldn't cut through.
No, I'm talking like pure meat.
Oh, I mean, we didn't carry pure meat out. We carried on the bone.
That's true.
Each, like, the hams weighed like 70, no, 80.
Yeah, they were
87, 88 each. And then the shoulders weighed like, I think they were like, one was like 68 with the arrow that went through it. And the other one was like 74.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were pretty freaking big.
They were huge. I mean, think about that. I couldn't, whenever you were getting the head off, when you were working on that, and I was like trying to get the stuff ready to, like, the game bags ready to, like, carry them down the hill, I could barely get a leg up, or like the shoulder, actually, like the shoulder was like okay, and I initially thought the shoulder was a leg, so it's like, oh, the hardest part is over, and then I fucking saw that hammy, I'm like, Jesus.
Oh, another thing too, so the shoulders fit in my bag, right? I could carry those up in my bag. The fucking hams didn't fit in my bag that I was carrying around. So,
and we couldn't carry them because you were carrying the head already and the one shoulder.
Well, when we went back, I grabbed my metal frame, which basically I could just ratchet strap shit to. And
yeah, but not initially.
Yeah, I didn't have that one carrying around. Hindsight, didn't really know that was what I needed to be carrying. First time out, learning curve.
So I take the tarp and some rope. And I basically turned myself into a sled dog by tying the rope around those hoop thingies and the tarp.
Yeah.
And you kept saying the tarp ripped. The tarp didn't even rip. So I tied around that. I tied a little bit together. And then I just basically tied it around my waist. But also had it... I had a rope tied around me and then a rope that was only the tarp, and then I told him, like, I knotted them together.
Yeah.
Where I also held with my hand to support it, right? Mind you, I'm wearing a tank top. And,
Slip-on tennis shoes. Slip-on tennis shoes. Elastic slip-on tennis shoes. No laces. No tying up or suited up.
Like, they're not heels, but they have, like, the little support in the back. So I completely had no fucking grip whatsoever, right?
So that was the first trip. I had the ham, a ham, and the head.
Yeah.
And that was, the head wasn't strapped on. It was just laying on top of the ham. Oh, and keep in mind, too, we also didn't have the ability to cut, like, you have the whole shoulder and whole ham and whole meat cut. Yeah. We couldn't cut from basically, like, the kneecap down or the elbow down. My bone saw that I had... wasn't I guess the blades aren't thick enough to get through the bone, so we had to carry with the hoof, so you have to basically this big L-shaped hoof, and it's another 10 pounds you got to carry on top of it
at the very least.
Oh, and it just makes it so awkward and swing and rock, and I was just like, oh my gosh, this is ridiculous.
I mean, I kept, like, I had to grip it differently because if you know me, you know that I have always sweaty hands for no goddamn reason. So having a good grip is kind of difficult for me just because it's just not going to be dry. Like, that's just how it is. So I'm like, I have to regrip all the whole time. But I think I did pretty well.
I mean, you drug 150 plus pounds a mile.
Like, I also had the backstrap in there.
Oh yeah, plus the backstrap bag too. So, I mean, you drug it a long way. I really didn't expect you to do as much as you did. So, basically, I was like, you couldn't keep up with me because I was like,
well,
I had to
regrip, and it kind of pissed me off, like, that you kept stopping for me because I was like, dude, I'm literally just regripping. It's fine.
So, I was like, well, I'm going to go take this to the spot where we can get it out. Basically, like, where the road met kind of the private. You can't really, like... It's a weird scenario, like the way you kind of came in and the way you can use it and whatnot. But basically way to use it. We used it to get it out and put it all at that gate. And so which I took off walking to the gate to go, because we were gonna go drop that off and then go walk back to go get the truck.
Yeah.
So then I will drop off the first load. Well, on the way to go to the first load, I see a black bear walking up the mountain, and I'm like basically trying to like woof at it, scare it off, and you know, just trying to get it to where, like, because I don't know where you are, and I'm like, well, I gotta find it to get it, or I can't see you. So I'm like, I gotta either scare the bear off or hope you'll come. Well, you had fallen and
yeah, because the where we went down, it was all like rockety, a little bit like gravel almost, I guess, and like sandy and all that. And then there was this little, basically it was like a cut. I'm assuming there was like a rock slid or some shit.
It's for fire. It's on these like roads and trails and stuff. There's like basically big cuts through it. So if there's ever a fire that goes through it, kind of has to go through the ditch, and it hopefully won't cross through the ditch. It's just a fire ditch.
And basically I slipped in my slip-on shoe, and then the hammies kind of just pulled behind me, right? And basically pulled me, like I fell to the left, but it pulled me on the right. So I kind of felt like it's going to rip me apart right above my hip bone. And because I like obviously stepped wrong on that path right there, my foot also fucking hurt like shit. So I'm sitting there, I'm like so close to crying, but I'm not even crying because I'm in pain. I'm just so mad and literally in so much pain, and I'm just like, I'm literally screaming for you to come and help me, and you didn't even hear me.
I mean, yeah, I was on like a complete like turn other side of the thing.
Allegedly trying to get away from a bear.
I wasn't trying to get away from a bear. I'm trying to scare the bear away so he doesn't come and mess with us. So basically, long, like, you know, through the point, I'm like, I kind of like thought I heard something, so I was like, well, let me go and drop this off at the gate real quick, because I thought it was just like right down the way from that point.
Yeah,
it's another.
It was another mile.
Half mile, quarter mile. It was a long way from that spot. So then I basically like jog run with 180, 200 pounds of stuff on my back down to the gate, drop that off, come, and then basically once I have that off, I ran back to where Bao was from basically that point and just started jogging on the road. And got all the way back to her. I'm like,
well, no, not even, because
no, at first I saw the shoulders just sitting there in the tarp. No, those were both shoulders. I had a ham, and then I carried the other ham down.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And then I just walk up on the tarp, and then all the meat, and nothing there. There's no, Val's not there.
No, I literally said, fuck this, and I got up, and I walked my happy ass right back up that whole mountain. And I literally, as I was walking, I was like, I am covered. My legs are, especially the backside, obviously, from being a sled dog, are covered in blood. And not just blood. No, elk blood, which elk just smells. It's game.
Well, yeah, it's a very distinctive smell. Yeah.
So, and I'm walking there all by myself. I do not have bear mace. I do not have anything. I don't even have, like, a pocket knife. I didn't even have, the only thing that I had that was sharp whatsoever would have been if I would have pulled out my belly button piercing. Think about it like that. That's some wild shit. Kill a bear with a belly button ring. I think
bear gets you in that one.
You would be surprised. But basically, I'm like, well, shit, if a bear is coming now, it is what it is, you know, kind of deal? Because, like, it is what it fucking is. So I walked, so I kind of tried to be, like, a little faster going up that hill to get to, like, the bag where the bear mace was in, and all of that, and also the rest of the mates, we're not attracting them to come there.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, look, all you can eat, it's already butchered for you. And then I, because I was bleeding on my hip, I, like, took the band-aid stuff out, and then took care of that real quick, and then grabbed the stuff, kind of packed it all together, and started, like, carrying it down in the rucksack. And then, also with the
back straps, the neck meat, the hand, like, basically every other meat that I didn't cut straight off, the big chunks, was in this bag.
Yeah.
And the bag probably weighed a good 50, 60 pounds on its own. And it's literally oozing blood.
Yep.
Like, that's how full it is. It's just... It's full of meat.
It was really funny because you also lift the gun up. The... What is that? The pistol.
No, I did not have the pistol
on. No, the pistol was up there. Because I know this for a fact because I had the pistol in my hand and put it to the side and literally did something else for a moment, and then you scared me because I turned around and you were all of a sudden there and I screamed. Mm. And in that moment I was like, well, thank God I put that fucking pistol down or I would have killed you. Like, legitimately. Because I would have been so fucking freaked out that, all of a sudden you're behind me. I was already freaked out that there's a bear. Or bears. Because you were like, oh, sometimes they climb up the trees and then they sleep and they come down. And I was like, I don't even believe that. That happens at those kind of trees that were there. Because they're relatively thin up there.
They're pretty thin.
I'm talking about the opening ones, not just the regular ones.
Oh, yeah, no, they're not climbing those.
Like, exactly where I was. Yeah. So, but still, and then literally I was like, well, thank God. But it was also, like, wrapped in the holster and all of that. Like, well.
But, yeah.
But you don't have it loaded.
So I basically sprinted back up. Because I was at the bottom when you were making that last turn to go up, and I just basically took off and ran up the mountain and caught up to you. So right as you got up to the top,
no, I was there for a minute.
I mean, you were there for a little bit back and stuff, and then you did all that. That's when I was like all of a sudden right behind you because I ran up the entire mountain. Because then you're I realized
that bear spray, bro.
There's a bear, and you're not there, and I didn't see you. I'm like, well, shit, we need to be together. B, I don't have my pistol. C, I don't have a bear spray, and neither do you. And I'm like, maybe we should be doing this together. Yay! I was like, maybe, I guess I snapped out of my dehydrated brain when I saw the bear, and I was like, we are doing this so fucking wrong.
Dude, literally, and I was walking down, and I was like, well, thank God we don't have snakes like we have in Texas, and this is not as dangerous as whenever, I feel way more safer here than whenever we were at the Oatleys with the whenever we tracked down the pig.
Mm.
And then in the next moment, I was like, there's bears here.
And then black
bears. And fucking pumas and...
Cougars, not pumas.
Cougars and mountain lions and whatnot all. Yeah. So technically not safer.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I was also covered tip to tip in blood because I butchered
everything. We were a good snack, dude. Like, I'm not even... think about that. Like, legitimately, we would have been a really decent snack. You were dehydrated. I mean, the bear is heavier than me. The bear is stronger than me.
That's not the point, but like... I mean...
We both smell like elk blood.
We would have been a good snack, but there was better ones out there. Like, would have just been like... I'd have just opened up a pack and been like, here's a fucking neck. Like, and then just kept walking. Like,
yeah. You hear that, Walt Disney? Apparently that's not really how Bear Brother works, or Brother Bear, or whatever the fuck. I think that shouldn't be called that way in English, but that's a different story. But, yeah, so we're back together up there then.
Yeah.
And we're, like, walking down together more or less.
At that point, I was fucking... I mean, how could you not be just brutally exhausted? Everything was just going on.
Dude,
it's just
we're
like,
also talking about, like, we're right now at, like, 7:30 p.m.
It's getting dark.
Yeah.
Like, it's about to get fucking dark.
Yeah,
like,
we walked back.
Sunset has happened. Like, I gotta get back to get to work. Like, we get all the way down, get the backpack, the ham, and then once we get back to where the two shoulders were, I put the ham on the shoulder, carried that out. Holy fuck. Which, it had to be, because with the legs too, it had to be pushing 200 pounds.
Yeah.
It was fucking ridiculous. Walked that out the last, 2-3 miles that it has left. And then basically like, okay, now we got to walk to the truck. Because then we walked that one together where we're like, oh, together, like we can see each other the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And then walk back the rest. And then we got to walk up the road. Because all the stuff's at the gate. Now we got to go get the cars. So we're like, okay, we're going to go get the cars. So we walk. I walk with you. You have the bear spray and I have the pistol. We walk all the way back to the cars, which is another mile and a half, yeah, probably. Yeah, and
think about that. We're, like, in, like, it was dark. Like,
it was getting dark, and then dark. Like, yeah. And it's canopy covered 80-100-foot tall trees. Like, it's, when it goes from, like, yeah, you know, light, okay, there's light peering through the trees, and then, shit. And then dark.
Like, yeah, because I have my flashlight on the phone in case a car comes driving up.
So they could see us. Yeah,
so they can see us, because there was no way.
Yeah, luckily.
Because you were fucking wearing camo.
Yeah, luckily no cars. It didn't come the whole time.
No, the only thing we saw was that.
A possum.
Yeah, no. You didn't even see that possum. I didn't see it. That was when I was driving out. No, the screwdriver?
No, oh, no, it was the glove that I thought was a turtle.
Yeah. I guess you're it's a turtle. I was like, what?
Might be hallucinating slightly at that point.
So it's a turtle.
Then we get back to the cars, and it's dark.
Yeah.
You get in the car, take off, and then I go back down, drive back down to the gate, park, put all the things over the fence, the bag, the head,
yeah,
the ham, the shoulder, and then once that's done, walk all the way mile and a half back, yeah, in the dark. It's dark.
Yeah.
To the last shoulder that's wrapped up in the tarp, put that on the bag, strap it on, take off walking. So yeah, went back in the dark, got that last shoulder, got it over the fence, and took off, got home about what?
You're just lucky that you work from home, bro.
Oh my gosh, it would have been rough. I mean, I think I made it. So I log on at 10 and I get off at 6. I think I made it till. I mean, I was up the whole time, did my stuff, did my thing, but like, I was headbanging the desk from about 5 to 6.
Yeah, last hour.
Yeah, just boom, like, oh, okay, wake up, and then
yeah,
do something another minute, boom, okay, well, wake up.
I mean, mind you, I also, like, I hustled home because, like, I mean, I left here at 3, and the Puggos had been alone the whole day, basically.
Well, it's it's an hour and a half just to get to the spot.
Yeah, so, you know, I was like, well, shit, I gotta go. I gotta make sure that they're okay. And then I come home and they're just still sleeping. I'm like, bro, do you guys even do anything? And they like walk up to me and they're like, and I'm like, yeah, they smell good. And Ariel, our girl, goes like, she gets very offended whenever she smells. Like any kind of game meat, I guess now.
She knows.
She just really knows. She loves jerky. Especially the ones like whenever Ethan goes hunting and like gets meat and we either get jerky or now we make it. She's just upset. Like you open that on the you open a bag on the other side of the house. She will not be around. All of a sudden she's there.
Dead asleep too. Dead asleep. Like you could literally be like, and then just kind of like fan the smell.
You don't even have to do that. Into the
abyss. And then just give it about 5 seconds and you'll hear that.
She's so fast then too. So, like waiting for Ethan to come home, right? I have like everything set up for you. I have like water and whatnot already. So you can just start working. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to shower now. Because this is just, I feel disgusting. There's blood on me. So I shower, and then you came home right after I finished showering, ironically, and like I tried to like introduce the dogs to the elk.
Oh yeah, they were like.
No, you came home a little bit earlier because we showed them that, and it wasn't time for you to log on yet.
Yeah.
So like it's like 9:40-ish, something like that. But
and pulled the head out and put it on the sidewalk, and they were like, they wouldn't get within 20 feet of it.
They were so scared.
Titan was almost like in the neighbor's yard. He was so far away. Okay,
but he's scared of a bike that is on the side of the road.
They were not having it. But Ariel, it 5 minutes?
No, 3 minutes? It took her a long time because she wasn't sure what the sitch is. And then she tried. And then that big truck drove by that vibrated.
Oh, yeah. And then it scared him.
It scared her. But then she was like, on the antlers, or like, I guess
she looked kind of like the back where we cut the, like, separated it from the body, basically, like where the blood and the meat was. She was kind of like,
no, she went for the where the velvet was still on.
Oh yeah, you're right, that's true. I forgot about that. Yeah. It's got on the back. I don't know what you would call that on an elk. On the back, I guess the G5 on the right side is what you call it on a whitetail, but I don't know. The back right antler, it has a drop in the fork, and the fork on the back part on the bottom has like a 6-inch tag of velvet. Yeah. Oh, I told the taxidermist too, they're going to wrap it up for me. So what they're going to, because of what's cool about taxidermist place is they basically, to get the meat off, they give it to bugs. So they
bugs.
It's like beetles.
Oh yeah.
Beetles eat the meat, but they won't touch the bone.
Yeah.
So they'll wrap up that thing and put it in plastic and cover it, and they'll just basically throw it in the thing with the beetles, and they'll eat it all off. So they'll cover that plastic piece, and they won't touch it.
That's disgusting.
That's kind of cool, though.
I mean, it's really cool, but it's also kind of gross.
Yeah. So that little piece will be on there. Hopefully it stays. I mean, I'm sure it'll stay for a while, but like, I'm sure after like 10, 15 years, it's gonna fall.
I have no idea. We will see.
Yeah.
Because think about that, there's some at Cabela's that still have that. But I mean, it's also like,
those are velvet. Those are a lot different. Those are like pure insane velvet. This is just like a skin, like a scab of velvet, basically.
I don't know. But yeah, she was very intrigued by that. And then was like, and couldn't stop licking it. And I was like,
Once she had the taste, she was like hooked.
And then she like went up and like started licking its nose. And I was like, don't do that.
Yeah. Licking the tongue.
Oh my god, that was so disgusting. I was like, you need to stop that right now, bitch. But, yeah, I mean, in the end, Titan kind of came around, but he still... He liked the meat, though.
Yeah, I butchered it all myself, cut it all, processed it all myself in the
Excuse
first...
Excuse you?
Well, I mean, you helped in the end with the meat grinding, but yeah, no, that's all processed. But anyway, I cut up pieces of, like, tendon and, like, fat and things and cooked it in a pan real quick for the dogs. It's funny, the piece that I gave them, I just, you know,
they took had a it piece. Before we did.
Yeah, no, they had it well before we did. I just took a piece and kind of like, you know, just kind of both gave it to them at the same time. And, you know, we give them stuff all the time. Just, you know,
you oh, give you them stuff all the time.
And they, you know, normally their faces are there, like, you know, they kind of light up. They're like, oh, you know, oh, thank you. Da, da, da. Their faces, when they would, like, you know, they chomp, chomp, chomp and swallow, and then there was about a half second, and both of their faces went from like, okay, I don't know what that was, but you're gonna go ahead and need to stop what you're doing and give me another fucking piece of that.
Yeah,
like they had like, you know, like a normal like oh thank you. They were like both jumped up on me, one on one leg, one on the other, and they are both intensely looking at me like
with their gloopsy eyeballs.
Okay, we're gonna need another piece
Titan's
of that.
Eyeballs almost popping out of his hand, bro. My god.
Yeah, I just basically made him like a little bowl real quick of the tendon and fat and whatever, like, you know, cut it and gave it to him, gave them like both like a little bowl, and they both it just like silence when
they
were
also started
it.
Fighting over the last piece.
Yeah.
Or not fighting, but they growled at each other. They don't fight. They're just like, man.
But yeah.
That was
they
wild.
They had it before we did. But now it's all processed in the deep freeze, filled up about half of the deep freeze.
Yeah.
I'm like, jeez.
Well, we also ate like 1.5 pounds already.
Ooh.
Well, that's 2 bags if you think about it like that.
Nah.
No, the ground
beef. Oh, the ground beef. Yeah. The ground stuff, that's like 1 or 2 bags. But like, there's some hammy chunks in there.
Oh, yeah, probably, 100%. I don't know.
I didn't weigh all of the color of the meat.
It just changes.
It's just like
fucking chameleon, bro.
It's like how deep? What would you describe the color as? Like a deep mahogany.
At what stage?
Whenever you cut into like the good pure meat, like what we're eating, everything else is trimmed. Like I trimmed all the like the fat and stuff.
No, I'm asking because like, you know, whenever it's cooked, the outside is kind of grayish, but inside it's very like almost maroony.
Yeah, that's. But, I'm saying like raw. Like,
but
what's
raw,
it look like?
It's very much like...
Like a deep
no,
mahogany.
No, I think mahogany is a very good, like, because you have that maroon aspect.
Purple.
But you have, like, this really, really dark brownish wood.
It just looks like if you could describe a color of a pure meat protein, that's pretty much what it looks like. It's just like Yeah. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. The meat, the color and texture of it is just something
it's different. It's like the color of one of these fucking wardrobes that you see in, like, these expensive-ass houses. You know, whenever like
the
these...
dark felt carpet, mahogany, whatever. I don't know. I don't know.
Mahogany is wood.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm talking about, like, you know, like, the Vogue interviews or whatever, where they're, like, walking around their house, the celebrities.
Sure.
And it's like, oh, this mahogany tree was hand-carved in 404, and 17 people died just within the first 3 hours of working on it, but ever since, it's been in my family.
Yeah.
So... that kind of when you know, like, no, bitch, you just bought it off of fucking, I don't fucking know where.
What's your point here?
Well, but I'm saying, like, that's the color, like, this expensive, exquisite, dark red-brown.
Yeah, that's true, but it cooks, we need to cook some backstrap and have some steaks of it.
Yeah.
Because we've had just ground of it so far, but, I mean.
Ground was good, fucking burgers okay, were delicious.
Okay, let me ask you
Hello?
This.
Hello?
Let me ask you this.
What?
After you eat the elk, do you feel any different?
What do you mean different?
Does it make you feel any different versus eating, like, if you ate ground beef versus eating ground elk, do you feel any different?
Well, just digestive-wise, yes, because there's a difference in the fat.
What about, like, energy and, like, things like that?
I mean, I would have to look back at it now, I guess, but, like, I didn't feel it in the moment, like a change in energy.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like, see, that's what I mean. Like, I feel the difference for, like, digestive-wise because of the fat. Because think about that. Like, whenever I eat too much fat, it triggers my migraines.
Well, yeah.
Or I feel very quickly, like, very, like, fatigue and whatnot. So just because I didn't have that, I guess you can say that's more energy. So, yeah, I did feel better.
Okay. But...
how did you feel?
Oh, no, I don't know when I eat it. I'm just like, how does Kelly put it?
Testosterone!
That's it. That's exactly, that's what my body, like, I feel like every one of my cells, you ever know what, like, what is the thing where it's like, we make holes in the teeth? It's like, it's a Family Guy reference where he's like, he's gingivitis, and he's like, all the cells are, like, the gingivitis is walking in a line, basically. That's what I think. Is like my cells are doing when they have that. They're getting that. They're like, testosterone. Like, they're just walking like that and like doing it like that and saying it. So,
yeah. I mean, Callie is more than welcome to go elk hunt with you next year.
Get your tags. Let's
go. You
hear
that, Callie?
There's a lot of people. I'm just going to say this. If you want to go, take the week off and, like, you know, let's go and let's get after it, but at the same time, better be fucking ready. Like,
he's working out now.
Yeah, I mean, I was working out before. I mean, we were going to the gym almost every day.
Yeah.
Running. I mean, when we got here too, I was running. There's a mountain close by. I was running 4.5-5 miles daily, or you know, every other day at least.
Yeah.
Next year?
You should start training right now for next year.
I already have been. I mean, I've been running and doing things like that. I mean, the past couple of days I've been busy doing other things. But, like, I mean, I went running the other day and I was like...
why, you don't want to go running when you donate plasma?
Yeah, no. But, I mean, I went running the other day. I'm like, I got to start training again now.
Yeah.
Because that... I mean, there was a couple points where I was thinking, like, damn, I mean, I got the elk, but this elk might get me.
Yeah, legitimately.
Like.
I think I've never... see, the thing was, like, it was just so surreal to me. Like, yeah, obviously, now, with the medication, I've lost weight and I've lost muscles, like, muscle mass because of
yeah.
it. But, like, I think I've never had this moment where I went to grab something that I can grab. Meaning that it's not going to drag on my knees or, like, block me from, like, physical just movement.
Because,
mm-hmm. Like, think about that. Like, you know, this the table that I have here, the, you know, heavy-ass thing, it's a very long... it's just impractical for me to hold, which makes it even harder for me to, like, lift it. But these legs and the shoulders, I was able to grab them without an issue. But I just... I grabbed them and they didn't move.
They were just so densely heavy.
Yeah.
And so just like, I don't know. I don't know how to describe how heavy these things were, but just you pick it up and you're like, this thing weighs 500 pounds. But in reality,
it just gets like heavier 100. Too.
Yeah. They're just so dense and thick, and it's just like, I don't know. But knowing what I know now, I am definitely going to start training completely differently. going into, like, August 27th, even realistically, just say September 1st, but going into September 1st now, like, I mean, we're going to have to go full Cameron Haynes mode, like, being...
We? I'm sorry, did I just hear we?
Well, let me guess, I.
Mm-hmm.
I have to start doing that, but, yeah, no, I mean...
I thought next year you have all your friends and whatnot all coming.
Nobody said let's go yet.
I don't have to carry that shit no more.
I've had people say, you know, oh, yeah, you know, I want to, but... Ain't no tags been purchased yet. Ain't no dates been set. Ain't no contact books. Yeah, no. I want to go. Like, I'll do it again.
I mean, I told you, if you do that again to me, I will literally go to Cabela's and get the thingy that we saw.
Oh, yeah, no.
The wagon, and I will just buy everything that I think I need from your credit card. That's just how it's going to be.
Yeah, next year will be completely different as far as, like, just about, besides killing the damn thing, I mean, everything up to the killing point was like, couldn't have wrote it better to a T.
Well,
I mean,
could it have been better? Yes. Could it have been better for a story? No.
I mean, no, well, I'm saying up to the point where the elk goes down and I'm like, I got him.
Oh, I thought we're also talking about, like, you know, having to change spots because of
the... Oh, no. That shit sucked, too. But I'm saying, like, the hunt itself, getting it, and then boom. But, like,
yeah.
Once it got down, though, completely unprepared. Because we've always had rangers. We've always had trucks. We've always had roads. You could always back the thing up to it.
Yeah.
Hook it up to a winch and just go hit the button. Or have six dudes pick it up at one time.
Yeah. And Tom.
I mean, yeah.
I love Tom.
Yeah.
But homie was the real G, man. But, like, looking back at it, like, be realistic. If we look back at this experience, just to wrap things up now, too.
Yeah.
Did we make a lot of mistakes? Yes.
See, my motto going into the whole elk hunt was I could make hundreds of mistakes.
Yeah.
Hundreds. He only has to make one.
Oh, my God.
And it happened. And literally, he made the one mistake. He stopped, and he gave me the shot, and I shot, and I got it.
What kind of Tumblr post quote was that?
But.
Did you
see? But. If. I mean, like you said. All the mistakes made still happened. Still got it. There's still an elk sitting down there right now in that deep freeze. And I can go pull it out and eat it right now if I wanted to. I mean, that was just what I had in mind. That's probably also why I didn't tell you, because I knew I was going to get made fun of. But that's what was going through my head. No, it's just what I had in my head. It's like, I can make all these mistakes, but he only has to make one.
Yeah, but technically you also only had to make one, and the fucking bear would have come.
I mean, yeah, that too, but...
That's what I'm saying. Like, looking back, like, we made some fucking rookie mistakes, dude. Like, embarrassing. Yeah.
Did you have anybody that told you how to go do it?
Yeah, I didn't. Like, I mean, my normal human brain would tell me, like, hey, if you are out there by yourself doing this, and you're carrying meat and blood that just smells so delicious to some of the predators out there... Maybe have some mace with you.
I mean, hindsight, sure.
That's what I'm saying, like, looking back at it.
I fucked up. But we're still here. You're still here. And we're both still kicking.
I kind of like that.
I don't feel like I don't feel like an elk hunt, like, you know, it's an elk hunt and it's an accomplishment. Yeah. It's not a pleasant experience. People don't go, like, on vacation to go kill an elk.
No,
like,
they do.
Well, they do, but it's work. it's well, yeah, not
they go guided and like
all even still I mean, you know, even if we would have had a guide and, you know, if they had loaded up in a back of Ranger and we'd have drug it out like that, that'd have been way different. But like, yeah, it's still work to go to elk hunt like that, like no matter really what you do.
In the end, we made some bad mistakes, but looking back at it from now, I can also say I'm glad that it went the way it did. Because now we can also just, you know, we know what we're not supposed to do because we did it. Or, like, I mean, obviously some other things we just know not to do because it's just dumb. Yeah. But, like, this, now we know, you know, whenever you call me and you're dehydrated, you gotta be very specific with me, what you need from me. And then I, whenever I get there, can then properly prepare myself so I don't get angry at everything in you, and you don't get angry at me for being angry, and we can just, you know, have a more pleasant experience.
Please take this the complete wrong way.
Oh my god.
But I won't ask you for
help. Oh, like I was that hoping again. That you would say that.
Because, I mean, we really don't have anybody else up. I mean, we could ask that. I almost thought about telling you to call the neighbors, but they're pregnant and all that, so it's like, well, kind of can't drag him away. But next time, I'm calling every motherfucker I know within a 100-mile radius and saying,
get your boots. Be like, help.
Get your boots.
But I just want to mention that the Oregon hunting law does not prohibit drones for recovery off properly tagged as well as butchered and in-game bags.
Animals,
yeah.
Yeah, processed out.
Yeah, kind of crazy, right? Wonder who found that gap in those regulations. Must have been something really big for them to find. Someone really, really, really smart must have found that. I wonder who that was. But I heard it's apparently like the Shirey Gap or so. Really crazy. But you cannot scout with them, though. You cannot scout with drones, and you cannot like actively hunt with drones.
In a lot of places you can't even film with them, like,
well, that's what I'm saying, you can't even scout or anything like that.
Like, if I was gonna go on like a certain part of the national forest and like film myself and then post it,
you can't do that. But yeah, I mean, next time we know what we're gonna do and
do it a little bit better.
Hopefully, you know. Yeah, just step by step, I guess, every elk just a little, and eventually we're gonna have one mounted that doesn't have,
oh yeah, elk. Hopefully I get a call saying that mine's ready.
Yeah, I think that's a wrap for the first episode.
All right,
you have any final thoughts?
Keep crabbing.
I read earlier, what are you waiting for, like water. Mm-hmm. Okay, apparently it's not funny. All right, well, thank you for listening. Right.
crabexpert.com, check it out, coming soon. Check it out.
Yeah. All right. Nature expert in all of these.
Yeah. Coming soon.
Yeah.
All right.
Alrighty.
Later.